First of all, I just want to say that for the first go-round of this whole deal, I have been very pleased with people's participation. You know, we wanted to, I think there was some confusion, and I probably should have spelled it out a little bit more, but when we asked people to sign up for an hour of adoration throughout these 40 hours, I think a lot of people had the impression that only if I get my name on there can I actually come. There were some people that were like, do I get to come if I didn't get my name in there somewhere? Absolutely. And luckily people did come. I think most any time that I would pop in here, there were more people than just the people that signed up to be with Jesus. The reason why we had the sign up, of course, is to make sure that as Jesus is exposed on the altar and the monstrance, that he wasn't without company. You know, that we afford him that dignity and that honor and that that reverence, that we'd be with him. But I was always very pleased, even into some pretty weird hours, early or late, there were people. I heard wonderful stories of people even moved to tears as they sat in front of Jesus, which that's what it's all about, folks, you know, is just really connecting deeply with the Lord. Whether it's something joyful or not so joyful, those things of our heart belong to him most especially. So I'm very pleased, and I know that the Lord has done some work here, and I really do hope to make this at least an annual event, if not more often, because I think I'm convinced of this, that the more we plug ourselves into the life of prayer, especially in prayer with the Blessed Sacrament, with Jesus present right before us, I think our lives can have a lot more clarity and a lot more direction and purpose. Not that I say that you guys are aimless by any means, by any stretch. You know, you all are focused, dedicated people, but Jesus always takes our natural gifts and amplifies them and glorifies them. So, so when we put ourselves before him, good things can't help but happen. I want to look at our readings now. Also, when we put ourselves before the Lord and let him change us, sometimes not so good things happen. But we should never let those things discourage us. And I make reference to the first reading from the book of Maccabees. We hear about this awful arrest of this entire family, these seven sons and this mother, and they're all subsequently tortured and put to death because they're trying to keep the law of God. These awful things befall them because they are really trying to be faithful, and yet they're not shaken by it. That's the beautiful thing. They are not in any way frightened by what these authorities are trying to do to them. You know, there's a secret behind all that. But first, I want to talk about the book of Maccabees. If you have not sat down and read the book of Maccabees, either of the books of Maccabees, one or two, in the Old Testament, in the Catholic Old Testament, please do so. First of all, it's a really good read because it's an actual story, an actual historical event of the Jewish people trying to rise up and throw off these Greek oppressors who are trying to stamp out the worship of the one true God and trying to make them worship their own silly gods. And the Maccabean Revolt is what we call it in history, but it's named after Judas. Judas, this son of a priest, of a Jewish priest, who he and his brothers staged this revolt. He's called Judas Maccabeus, which means Judas the Hammer. He's a valiant warrior, brilliant strategist, and he for several years. Fights off and conquers these Greeks, these invading Greeks that have conquered them, and have profaned the temple in Jerusalem, and have done all kinds of awful things to people who try to keep the Jewish law, even killing their children, you know, awful things. But then they rise up and try and throw off these aggressors. Well, what we hear today is some of the awful things that the Greeks are doing to them before Judas and his brothers rise up and drive them out. And this is a great, and even though it's wrenching to hear about, you know, these seven brothers tortured right in front of their mother and then put to death, their response to this sort of thing is nonetheless inspiring. This one son, he says, he puts out his tongue at once whenever they're going to cut his tongue out, apparently, and he sticks his tongue out, and he puts his hands out, and he says, "The Lord gave me these. Take them. I hope that one day he's going to give them back to me. I have every hope that he is going to do this for me." You know, they believe in the resurrection. They believe that if they're faithful to the Lord, that whatever befalls them in this life is nothing compared to what the Lord wants to give them in return. It's a great, great sign of trust in the Lord. A great sign of faith. You know, but they didn't get to that place by accident. These people, these sons and this mother, could stand steadfast like that because throughout their lives up to this point, they were reverent. They were reverent, and they honored the Lord, and they worshiped him well, and they observed their laws, and they really put themselves out there. They inconvenienced themselves for the sake of giving to God the honor that he was due. And he rewarded them with this great faith and courage and strength in the midst of oppression. And I have zero doubt that they were rewarded with a great reward by the Lord. Zero doubt. What this 40 hours represents for us, I think, or it should represent for us, is it's an opportunity for us to exercise that kind of reverence. It's an opportunity for us to inconvenience ourselves a little bit, maybe in the middle of the night, to come in and to be with the Lord who dwells with us and waits for us patiently in the tabernacle. It's an opportunity for us to give back of ourselves to this God who has given us everything, including our tongue and our hands, just like this son. He acknowledged that everything that he had was given to him by the Lord God, and he was ready to give it all back, knowing that the Lord in his endless generosity was going to give it right back to him in some way. So we give ourselves over to the Lord in trust this day, knowing that he is generous and that he is faithful. And he asks us, to the best of our ability, even though we're limited creatures, even though we're sometimes silly and mistrustful of him, that if we can do our very best for him, and try to give him at least a little bit back of what he has given to us, it pleases him greatly, and he rewards us that much more. My prayer is that the graces of this few days, these last few days, will spill over into our parish evermore. I have no doubt of that. And that we will deepen our own reverence for the Lord, so that, like these sons, come what may in our lives, whatever difficulty, whatever challenge, whatever struggle, that we will endure it in faith and in patience with the Lord, knowing that he is indeed the God of reward and the God of devotion to us.